It's Friday, October 3rd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, got a great show lined up for you. Hey, it's Friday, and guess what? I go on vacation in a very few short hours. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Again, my name is Todd Cochran. Of course, you want to make sure you check out the website at geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the archived podcasts available via the podcast link on the website. And of course, I want to welcome all of the Ohana to the show. Hey, thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for staying subscribed and, of course, sharing the message of the show to your friends, family, and those people in your inner circle. We definitely appreciate it. Definitely talk about the show to everyone's willing to listen and to have them find out what all the craziness is about. Hey, it is Friday, and I'll be honest with you. I am very, very much looking forward to getting on an airplane at 8:30 this evening, and heading towards Los Angeles. We get in about 5 a.m., very, very early, much too early for the kids because it'll be 2 a.m. Honolulu time, so I'm sure it's going to be like dragging. It'll be fun. The only one that I'm really worried about is a four-year-old. The other two will be able to handle just fine, but it's been an amazing week here, partly because I've had sick kids, and I'm thinking, oh, my daughter got strep, so she's been on antibiotics for 2.5, almost 3 days. She's past the contagious stage. My son had ear infections in both ears that was not relenting. That finally, tonight, or today, no more fever. He's up and around, walking around, doing good. But boy, I was really, really, really worried about him. I've got four kids, so we've been through this ear infection thing a lot, and this was unusual. It really was. He had a bad case. But he is on the mend. So I think my fingers are crossed that we are going to be having a very good week. Of course, what we're going to do Saturday is, you know, everybody's going to be kind of zombies anyway because we get into L.A. And then we're just going to kind of take it easy, do some, you know, shopping around and getting in the hotel and get settled. Sunday, we go to Universal Studios. Monday is kind of an option day. We're just going to kind of do what we decide we want to do. Tuesday, Wednesday is Disneyland. And then, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is Disneyland. Then Thursday, it's just going to be action-packed. Thursday, we go to Legoland. Then go on down to San Diego. Friday's an off day. Saturday, we're going to go to SeaWorld. And then Sunday, home. very, very, of course, everything's subject to change. If we decide we don't want to do that schedule, that's what we're going to do, but it's going to be very, very busy. We bought one of those California, there's some sort of pass you get that basically gets us entrances into all those events for one extremely ridiculous fee. Some of the bills are already coming in for the flights. it's not going to be a cheap vacation. Anytime you leave Hawaii and go somewhere with the whole family, it's not cheap at all. But anyway, we're ready. Kids are ready. I'm ready. I've got show host ready. So on Tuesday, you're going to have Mike. And on Friday, you're going to have Michael. So you're going to Mike and Michael are going to be doing the show next week. And I'm sure you'll have fun with them. And what I'm going to be doing is I'll check email late Monday on whatever voicemails have come in. I'm going to forward those over to them so that they'll have those for the show. Same thing with emails. So you can keep those coming at 619. Of course, the voicemails at 619-342-7365. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. But really, I've just been, it's been madness for me all week. And finally, about midnight last night, I finally was kind of able to go, take a deep breath. And then this morning, a couple of critical emails came in, and I was dealing with that. So I think I'm close. I only have, well, one or two major things left to do, and we'll be ready to go. So irregardless, we're ready. Now, those of you that have been waiting for OLPC, one laptop per child, they are gone, okay? They are in the mail. They are on the way. Four of them, okay? Four of them are coming. So the first two people that we drew a long time ago, they're getting theirs, and the two people that we drew just recently are getting theirs. I was able to get a fourth laptop, and they're all coming, okay? So those are gone. Thank goodness, finally, they're out of here, they're out of here, they're out of here. On the 15th, we closed the nominations for the 2008 Podcast Awards. I've sent emails, couple of emails to the volunteers, and then I divvied out, gosh, that took me a while, divvied out all of the categories with the spreadsheets and the grading sheet to our reviewers. That went out last night. So 44 of you are now reviewing. So I hope all of you that have been in correspondence with me just recently that got a couple of emails from me got your attachments. I hope if you think you were supposed to get one, email me. But I think everyone has gotten them. So at least I've had a lot of read receipts come back today, noticing people had actually read that they'd gotten those. So they have to get those back to me by, I believe, the 12th or something like that. And then on the 19th, we'll have a live event over at the podcastawards.com website where I announce the slate of podcasts who have made it. And then, of course, voting will commence a couple days after that. So what else have I got here? Oh, the special edition. You know, I told you a little bit about, I did this great interview with our Show 400 winner, and just because things have been so nuts, him and I haven't been able to hook up together again. So we're going to, I've instant messaged him a couple of times. I know that they're busy with, they're doing some things with their website. So when I get back from vacation, excuse me, and I get out to Dallas, I will get connected with him while I'm on travel, and we'll do another interview, and then I'll get that out. What else here's on my list here? I think that's it. Oh, PodCamp Hawaii, we're still tracking for. Hey, we got some cool people coming to PodCamp Hawaii. We actually have a representative from the new media arm at is it Johnson & Johnson? Johnson & Johnson, I believe, are coming out. They're going to be speaking. We're going to have Matt here from WordPress. He's going to be speaking. A senator is actually going to come in and talk about politics and new media. It's going to be big. I mean, it is going to be big. And this is really unheard of in the podcast space. I don't think any podcasts have ever had a senator come in and speak. So we're really, it's going to be a great event. It really, really is. Okay, what have I got lined up for you tonight? Hey, first, before we get into the content, main thing, it's a new month, and I want to thank all of you for supporting the sponsors here at the show. It's very, very important. They allow me to do what I do, allow me to really put a lot of investment back into the podcasting community over the past couple of years. They've come on big time, big time in sponsoring a huge number of shows this quarter. And I'm really proud of what we've done with that. Now, of course, one of the primary sponsors here is GoDaddy.com. And domain prices have went up, okay? $7.49 are domain prices now. And it's not because GoDaddy wanted to make it happen. It's because the ICANN levied some more fees, or whoever is in charge of the .com space. And the prices are now up. So if you're looking for a domain name, really, GoDaddy.com still really has what you need. Go over there and check it out. When you get to that checkout counter, use promo code TODD for 10% off. Geek5 will save you 15% off orders of $20 or more. That Todd20 code, a little underutilized this previous month. That Todd20 code will get you 20% off on 1 year shared hosting accounts, okay? So check that out over at GoDaddy.com. Anyway, thanks for GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here. And as always, hey, we appreciate your support. Of course, GoToMeeting, really, there used to be only two ways to meet for business, over the phone or in person. Now there's a better way. Use GoToMeeting to meet online. With GoToMeeting, everyone sees your computer desktop on their computer screen. So you get the best of both worlds. It's like meeting in person without wasting time and money traveling. All your conference calls will be more effective, and you can do it online. You can do it through VoIP IP. You can. That's the beauty of it. And it really, the best part is you can try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. For this special offer, visit www.goToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast for a free trial. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here, too. Hey, great time to save money. Really, this is the product to do it. I do a lot of GoToMeeting sessions. I really do. I use it daily. It's easy. It just makes it so easy when you're talking about something, you want to share a screen or whatever. It really, really works. So let me go ahead here and get into the content tonight. If I don't hack on you guys all night long, and what it was is I forgot to take my Prilosec, and it's catching up with me this evening. So that stuff really works. It's really helped me out, and I would have never guessed in 100 years when the doc told me a month or so ago that I had acid reflux. I'm like, "Doc, I don't get heartburn." He says, "Well, you don't have to get heartburn to have acid reflux." So, but it seems to help if I remember to take it. Okay, lots of stuff in the tech world, and of course, we've all been watching what's the fiasco going on with Congress and the House and everything, with all this money and this bailout or whatever they're calling it, what kind of a plan they're calling it. And while it's not tech-related, I found a pretty good article that Mark Cuban wrote. It says, "Protecting the Moral Hazard, No Gain, Feel the Pain." And really, he's got some pretty harsh words here for some of the things that have been going on in Wall Street. So I won't go into it much more than that, but it is a good read. And I think that he probably, like many of you, are on the, you know, of the boat that, you know, we shouldn't be doing this and shouldn't be bailing, you know, these firms out or these banks out. But, well, we'll see. We'll know tomorrow whether or not the House is actually going, or actually today, whether or not the House is actually going to vote and pick up what the Senate approved yesterday. All right. There's a pretty cool article over on, and I got two of these today. This is about, you know, Spaceship One and Virgin Airlines, actually Virgin, I don't know what they're calling it, Virgin Atlantic, and their quest to really take tourists into space. And I got to reading about some things that they're doing that are pretty cool. They're when they do these, a lot of these flights are going to have sensors on board that are going to be doing basically atmosphere sampling. And what that is, but who's actually funding that, I believe, is the National Oceanographic Administration and Atmospheric Administration. So they're going to be working with them, which I thought was pretty cool. I did a lot of, when I was with the Naval Research Lab, when I was still in the Navy, and this was many, many years ago, did a lot of NOAA science projects, and they were always doing a lot of water sampling and all kinds of cool stuff. So interesting to see that they're going to take this, to you know, to the boundaries of space and see what they can find. So we'll see, and it's all to do with the climate change. Now, not only that, but they're thinking that these spaceship or these space rides, I guess that's the best way to say it, are going to be running about $200,000, and you know, that's a lot of money. But to actually have a flight on their spacecraft, and I think it's called Falcon 9 or whatever they're calling it now, in order to, you know, to get that $200,000, you know, that's in reach. It really is. And I was talking with my wife tonight about it, and I said, you know, I said, how much would you pay? And I asked her, how much would you pay to go into space? And she thought about it for a little while, and you know, and she really didn't come up with a number. I said, "How does $200,000 sound?" And she kind of looked at it, and she goes, that's a lot of money, but I'd pay $200,000. And I wish I had $200,000 to spend to do it. I think what that's going to do is over time, you know, maybe if we go 20 years, maybe that price will go from $200,000 down to something a little more reasonable and make it within striking distance of those of us that have that desire or wish to be able to go into space. Now, of course, if you have lots of money, you can pay the Soviets and they'll take you up to the International Space Station as a space tourist. Now, that's the ultimate trip. It really, really is. But, you know, for us that are down here, our peasants, we might be able to make something happen with Virgin Atlantic. So this would be pretty cool. Let's see what happens. 200 grand. How much would you guys pay 200 grand to go into space? Even if it was for just a couple of hours, would it be worth the 200 grand? I'm thinking that it would. You know, I really do. Now, would you be willing to put a $20,000 deposit down and then pay towards it? I tell you, if I had, if we've been in our house for 20 years, I might take a home equity loan out for 200 grand and do it. But that's a lot of money. That really, really is. But it's nice to have a goal. And if I could set a goal to maybe, you know, save. Thing is, you got to figure about retirement and everything else, college, all this other stuff that's going on. You know, it's a pipe dream for many of us. But $200,000 by the time I'm 60 or 65, yeah, I could maybe set that aside that I could burn. I don't know. How many of you could? How many of you could do it? You know, set a certain amount of dollars. You know, that's a lot of money. It's still a lot of money. But $200,000, if they're actually going to do it, I think it'd be worth it. I really would. You know, it's a once. Hey, you only live once, folks. Okay, so you don't find too many armored cars following Hearst. You really don't. Well, have you heard about Skype? If you're using Skype in China, boy, oh boy, it's not surprising that the authoritarian government there is monitoring its citizens online, and that includes, you know, those Chinese using Skype. Now, Skype has a partner in China, and Skype has actually came out and really exploded, basically went off on their partner there. But there is some analysis that's been done and have found that there is a great deal of mining of chat, text, and everything else that's going on in Skype. So this is not at all surprising. So let's think about that. You know, Skype is a peer-to-peer type service. If you guys didn't know that, it uses, you know, if I get a big fat pipe, it will actually route calls through my connection. So it just makes you wonder, really, how much sharing there is going on and how much stuff the Chinese are collecting that they probably shouldn't. And I just wonder if any of the stuff that we're using, even though those of us that are not living in China, if any of that's being routed through there. It's pretty scary. It really, really is. But the folks at Skype are not at all happy. But hey, guess what? Why are people surprised? I don't think they should be surprised at all. In a kind of a cool department, and I don't know if I'd want to do this going through TSA tomorrow, but a guy has made a insert into his backpack that when X-rayed says stuff like nothing to see here, picture of an American flag, and it's pretty cool what he's done. It's very obvious when he's made this for the X-ray machines. But imagine being a TSA security guy, and you're looking through the, you know, looking at the monitor, and you see this bag roll through, and it says nothing to see here. You know what? You know what I would do if I was working with a TSA? Flag that one, take this guy's bag, inspect it. But it's a little bit of fun this guy is having. He's flying a lot, so he's got more examples on his website. So I have this linked up in the show notes. This was an article that was over at networkworld.com. Over on Apple Insider, the Apple has filed a motion for dismissal of the SciStar counterclaims. Apple has filed a motion with U.S. District Court seeking to dismiss the claims of PiStar, which alleged that Apple has used a monopoly position as the manufacturer of Mac computers to cause restraint of trade, unfair competition, and other violations of antitrust. So we'll see what the judge says on this one. But Apple is definitely going for the jugular of these guys. you know, really, if you think about it, who in their right mind would set up a company and do what these guys did? Not, you know, they had to know they were going to get sued. Don't you think? Don't you think they had to know that they were going to be coming after them? I just can't imagine them not. So, anyway, we'll see what happens with this and see what the judge rules here when he, you know, considers their motion. I would almost bet that the countersue will probably get dismissed. But, you know, who knows? Stranger things are happening. Okay, over on Torrent Freak. And this is an interesting story here. And this goes to show you how lawyers many times do not understand the law. And it is kind of odd. And while I'm not a Michael Moore fan, he had released his movie called Slacker Uprising. And he had made it available via BitTorrent. He told people, go ahead, distribute it. Go ahead, share it. I don't care. Email it to people. Whatever you want to do, go ahead and make it available. Well, the difference was that he only made this apply to people that lived in the United States and Canada. Now, they sent a takedown letter to a company that's called... actually, it didn't take long for them to send a takedown notice to a website called EasyDNS. Now, are you guys familiar with these EasyDNS and other types of services that provide dynamic IPs? I use them here, and the way I use it is that I have to, my server, when I want to log into it, has to recognize a certain IP. And that IP, if it doesn't see that IP, it doesn't even let me go any further in logging in. So in order to send the data back on which IP I'm on, I use EasyDNS, and we've got a little system worked out. And I use them, and it's a real handy service. Well, they sent this takedown letter to EasyDNS, who's just a DNS provider, and EasyDNS is based in Canada, so really they were still within the right of what this they had said people could distribute it. And I guess they stood down real quick here, but you know, it just goes to show you that when lawyers get involved, they just do not, and they don't have a grasp of technology or simple things such as a DNS server, then, you know, just hurt feelings are bound to rise because, you know, they said, hey, go ahead and distribute this thing wherever you want. And if they think it wasn't going to be distributed outside the United States, then hello, they have to be really crazy. I'm sure it's being distributed everywhere. But why they went after this group is beyond me, to be honest with you. Now, you have to give this one some ingenuity points, and this is not a tech article, but in Monroe, Washington, any of you that listen to the show up in Monroe, Washington, well, this guy decided he's going to rob a armored car. So he puts out a message on Craigslist and looking to hire some people that were going to be quote-unquote working a construction job. Now, what he did was when he robbed this armored truck at a Bank of America branch, he was wearing a dust mask, a particle mask, and some workman's clothes and a yellow jacket. And the guy that was robbed or somebody that was coming out of the bank said this guy kind of looked kind of funny but not necessarily completely unusual. But then when... The robber sprayed the guard in the face with pepper spray. He had a little squirt can. It was for, like cleaning windows. The guy dropped one of the bags. This guy picked up, ran about 100 yards to a creek. Yes, I said a creek. Now, there's a difference between a creek and a river or a stream. Creeks are generally slow-moving tributaries that flow into a river or stream. And... But I guess this guy had an inner tube waiting for him, and he floated downstream, and he actually ended up in a river. Now, here's the funny part. He had put this listing in Craigslist looking for general wage people, basically, and he said, I'm going to pay you $28.50 an hour, but when you need to be at near the Bank of America, this is where we want you to meet outside the Bank of America at 11 a.m. He told them to wear a certain type of clothing. a yellow vest, safety goggles, respirator, and if possible, a blue shirt. So about a dozen guys showed up to go to work, but there was no job because this guy had used these guys as decoys. Pretty interesting, if you ask me. And this guy got away, so police are out looking for him, but used Craigslist to hire his accomplices. And I guess that's using technology to one's advantage, right? So you got to give the guy 10 points for creativity. You really, really do. All right, over on the Google blog, and this is at blog.google.org, they've posted a pretty interesting article. It's called Clean Energy 2030, and it's basically Google has got a task force within the company that is used to find ways to become more energy efficient, look at alternative energy sources, all kinds of cool stuff. And they've got three things that they've initially said in this blog post, and I'm going to let you guys go over and read it. But the number one, and there's a lot greater detail than the subtitle here, but number one, reduce demand by doing more with less, which makes sense. Number two, develop renewable energy that is cheaper than coal. Good luck with that, but it is possible. Number three, electrify transportation and reinvent our electric grid. So that's stuff that they're going to be using in Google, and this is stuff that they're going to be coming out and talking with other companies about how to be more quote-unquote green and save energy. And they've got some pretty cool stuff here to, in their descriptions of what they want to do. You know, really, what I think you want to save a lot of, you want to go into a mode of operation where very few resources would be used by Americans. I mean, here's the key. Actively push telecommuting for all companies. Tell companies if they let their workers telecommute, stay at home, work on their computers, not drive their car to work, and give them some sort of a bonus, incentive to do that every year, or a tax deduction. Can you imagine how many people would be allowed to work at home if the government gave them a tax break by just allowing them to do that? And think of the money that you would save by not having to go to work. Now, if you could work at home and have an environment that would be productive, you know, that would be obviously something that'd have to go along with it. But, how many thousands and millions of cars could we take off the road if just 10 or 15% of us were to telecommute all the time? You know, and not, you maybe have to go in the office once every 2 weeks or something like that. Not only do you save energy costs by driving, you save the company energy costs because maybe they don't need such big office space. They can cut down on AC, you know, all the stuff that goes along with that. So I really think technology, which should be able to help us save save a lot of energy. All right, moving on here. I always I'm looking for cool NASA pictures, and this may be one that I've already cycled through before, but it's so cool, I'm just going to share it with you anyway. It's a picture of two astronauts outside the International Space Station doing some work. And in the background, of course, you can see this absolutely gorgeous picture. All right, well, it's not a picture. You can just see, you know, Earth below. And it's amazing. It really, it just really is amazing. And I love looking at these pictures because, you know, a lot of times we don't see a lot of up and close pictures of the International Space Station. And being a geek and being a technical guy and having worked in aviation for so many years, and I look at things and I say, wow, that looks like stuff that would go on an airplane, or, you know, look at how structure of stuff is and how they've, the mass, the just absolute unbelievable amount of mass of this thing. If you don't realize how big the International Space Station is and how much weight we have lifted into space, you just need to look at some of these pictures, because folks, I'm telling you, we have got one heck of a station up there. I'm sure many of you realize how big it is, but if you look at this picture, you'll just get a much more detailed look of what's really involved up there. So anyway, cool picture. I'll have that up in the show notes, of course. Of course, love to hear your comments on that as well. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Hey, Hitachi has demonstrated a wireless HD camcorder that transfers via Wi-Fi. Now, you heard me that correctly. I had shot some high def with my camcorder, my small one, handheld one. And I believe there was about maybe an hour 20, hour 30 of content on it. And I hooked it up via USB. And Sony has a little application. It's really a pain. I let it just do its thing. It did all the transfer. It took 2 hours to pull the video off and do whatever it was going to do. So, again, you know, did it by wired for 2 hours. But Hitachi's demonstrating a wireless HD camcorder that can basically go from the camera to your TV and stream it real time to get HD on your television. I thought that blew me away. It really did. Now, the folks that did this article over at Engadget, they have their doubts about the value proposition here. But think about it for a second. No wires. You just turn the thing on. TV says, yeah, I know. There's the camera. All right, let me go ahead and switch screen, play. And then what I think would be cool is, you know, you want to be able to, you know, have the media that's smart and have your computer record this or do the transfer, you know, get the file into a media format you can use, editing on your TV. There's lots of possibilities here. There really, really is. But kind of cool. And they bid it. It's a demo unit. It was a mock-up. But I think there's some utility there. None of us like cables. And, you know, like last night, my lovely wife says, honey, she says, the digital camera battery needs charge. I'm like, sure, honey, bring me the camera. She brought it in, and I grabbed it and popped the battery out, and I reached onto my desk where the charger was supposed to be, and it wasn't there. And, of course, having just cleaned the office, I'm like, where's the charger? So it's just like trying to find a wire, you know, trying to find a wire to hook up to the TV. Where's the wire? You know, just how many of us can't find that thing, especially as gadget guys? We have too much stuff. Well, it took me an hour. And I said, oh, I know, that charger's in my computer bag. I had taken it with me on my last trip. So I pulled my computer bag up, and I opened up and looked in the front, and I was tired anyway. And it wasn't in there, so my frustration went up. So, I mean, I ended up kind of cleaning the office up, thinking, okay, it's got to be here on the desk. And really, the desk wasn't dirty. But how many of you fellas have just lost your minds on trying to find something? Well, that was me. And I was to the point where I had smoke coming out of my ears. And she comes in and she looks at me. She says, what? I said, I didn't say nothing. She goes, did I do something? I said, I didn't say nothing. You get that from your wives, fellas? I mean, I didn't even say nothing. And she come in here and said, did I do something? And I said, I'm frustrated. I know I always put it here or it's in my bag. And she goes, well, check your bag again. And I checked my bag again. It wasn't in there. About 30 minutes later, I said, it's got to be in that bag. And, you know, what clued me in was when I unzipped the bag, I says, I've got one of those little laser pointers. I said, that laser pointer's missing too. Where's that? Because it's normally in the front pocket. I had forgot that there was kind of like a little secret pull-down thing at the very bottom in the back. Yep, right in there, right where it was, right where it was supposed to be. And it was because I was so tired, I couldn't think straight. And then they're laughing at me. Then she's laughing at me. See, I didn't have it. I didn't move it. I said, I never said you did. No, but you gave me that look, you know. Yep, we've all been there, right? And those of you that aren't married, you will be, okay? Don't worry. It will happen. Okay, so anyway, we'll see. We'll see about this wireless HD transfer for these HD cameras by Hitachi. Moving on here, Steve Ballmer has confirmed that Zune is coming to Windows Mobile. That's pretty cool. So if you've got a phone that's got Windows Mobile on it, you'll be, and what's even better, we got a podcast link. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. Got a podcast link. Now, here's something else. I got an email from my good buddy Rob at Zune. And actually, got to look. It's on my other laptop. He emailed me a link where those of you that are podcasters now, you know, you've been using the Zune :// and it basically, when people click on that, it loads the Zune marketplace. Well, for those people that don't have a Zune player, You can now have they've got a little code you can set up. You search for your show in the Zoom Marketplace, and it gives you a preordained embed code. And people can click on that with their browser, and it goes over to the Zoom site and says, do you have the Zoom Marketplace? You say, no, and it gives you the opportunity to download it. You know, what I really love about the Zoom Marketplace is they have done a great job promoting podcasting, much more than Apple iTunes has in the last couple of years. Now, here's the reason why. Every podcast that I see that's on the Zoom sees 10 to 13% of their audience members immediately increase because people are picking up their show on Zoom. And Zoom is making up a very substantial amount of listeners now. So those of you that have the Zoom Marketplace and know you're listening, I'd love to hear from you. Why do you love – send me an email. Why do you love the Zoom Marketplace? Why do you choose it over iTunes? Do you have a Zoom or are you using the Zoom Marketplace with another media player? Let me know. But anyway, Zoom is coming to Windows Mobile as a application. And yes, they will have podcasting support. So I'll get that. I'll find that link that Rob sent me, and then I'll get it up in the show notes. If I don't, I'll make a blog post about it. Very interesting article about Android. The Android market is going to be offering free trials, but not free bandwidth. Now check this out. You know, over at Apple on their App Store, you can't get a trial. There's no trials. You have to read the review and then, you know, risk your $9.99 or whatever the app costs to get the app to download it. Well, the Android App Store is going to have free trials. And what T-Mobile is going to do is for those free trials, they're going to be levying a $2 per month fee on developers of free apps that are expected to use more than about 15 megs of data per month. Now, this to me just like sent a little bit of alarm signals off. So if I create a podcasting application and I give it away for free, this is where they need to come and explain themselves, and I'm trying to get more information on this. Does that mean that let's just say I make you guys pay a buck for the application, which I wouldn't want to. I'd want to give it away for free. But if they're going to invoke this $2 a month fee on developers, so if I charge you a buck for the app and you guys download more than 15 megs of podcast, are they going to hit me with $2 every month for that? Or once you pay for it, it's on you? I don't know. This is a little bit makes me go, whoa. Because 15 megs, I can use 15 megs in about 15 seconds. Even on a portable, you know, a mobile device, 15 megs is nothing. I mean, nothing. So I'm just wondering if it just doesn't make sense. If I buy the app and I download it to my phone, the bandwidth charge goes against me. But if I'm giving the app away for free and the person uses, I guess probably what it is, because probably T-Mobile is not going to be getting some of the revenue share. That's what it's about, the revenue share. But I wonder what they're going to do for high volume apps. You don't think it would matter because I'm paying for the service. Anyway, I can kind of understand why they're doing the two-month fee on developers. I wonder if that's just per person that's downloaded it. I don't know. I really, really don't. Okay, moving on here. And I got a glass of water here, so I apologize for the little pause. And this next one I think is just really, really cool. Biotronics. Yes, that's the name of the company. Sounds like the Bionicle Man, right? Biotronics has gotten the go-ahead for GSM-based implant monitoring system. The folks at Biotronic have been trying to make a medical implants behave a little more like cell phones. And it looks like the EU has given them the green light for the latest home monitoring system that lets physicians keep tabs on patients at home. This one relies on the GSM network to send vital information to the patient's physician with there's a base station that acts as a go-between you and it, and between the base station and the base station to the doctor. The system promises to work with a whole range of different implants, including pacemakers, which makes me kind of go, whoa, implantable cardioverter defibrillators. In other words, a thing that pokes your heart to keep it whacking away. A cardiac resynchronization therapy device. And I feel that these some of these monitors are going to be widely available starting in 2009. So don't you think that would be cool? You have a, you know, it's just like being wired up. You know, when the astronauts went up, they had everything wired up, and the doctors on the ground were watching them. And if they saw something going on, they were able to say, hey, you need to, you know, quit exercising so hard, or, you know, you need to watch yourself doing this, or your O2 level's a little too low, you know, whatever it may be. Imagine having something that would send your doctor a note saying, hey, he needs to come to the doctor right now. Don't you think that would, you know, I think that's smart. I do. Now, I don't know how many of you would like a device in you that calls home, but it is smart. It's very interesting. Hey, if you're, you know, if you're in a serious medical condition, I think anything would be good. So, little creepy, but yep, be good. All right, moving on here. A little bit more information on SpaceX. Have that linked up in the show notes. And this is all with all the stuff that's going on to private firms trying to get into space. Now, if you have a Dell Inspiron Mini 9, now, many of you probably have, you know, some of you probably went out and gotten these mini computers. The Dell Inspiron Mini 9 can run OS 10 Leopard. Very easy to get up and running. And I've got an article about it that you can check out. So I think this is pretty cool. People are learning to hack. And what the reason is because it has a very similar chipset to some of the other boards out there. It's very similar to the MSI Win board that people have hacked quite a bit in running OS 10 on regular PCs. So the only problem he had with this is the wireless card wouldn't come up and work, but he got the network to come up. And he was able to plug it in. So I don't know how speedy it is, but it's kind of nice to see this people do this from time to time. All right. How many of you use Quik? Q-I-K. Quik.com has announced that its video streaming software is going to come pre-installed on Nokia's 5800 Express Music touchscreen phone. So those of you that are looking at getting a 5800, you're going to have QIK software already preloaded. And that's awesome. It really, really is. I wish I had a phone that would do this. Android will have it. I know that. So I'm looking forward to being able to get an Android G1. As soon as T-Mobile brings 3G to Hawaii. Hey, a former Microsoft executive who flew to the International Space Station as a space tour last year is going to be making a second trip there next year. And he will be the seventh space tourist to make the flight. And no reason on released on why he's going to be doing this. But I guess you got $25 million to spend. You want to go the second time? Go ahead. Pony up the cash. Like I said, that $200K doesn't sound too bad as compared to $25 million to go to the International Space Station. All right, over at the Visual Lounge, this is visuallounge.techsmith.com. I'm a big fan of TechSmith products. I have Snagit, running on all of my Windows machines. And then I have, I'm using Camtasia for a lot of stuff too. But they, and actually what clued me into this was they had done a screencast on some online teleprompter software. And I've been looking for a teleprompter. I'm trying to figure out how to, there's some things I want to teleprompt. I don't teleprompt just stuff I'm basically doing. I would never do this show, obviously, that way. But I have been looking for a teleprompter, and there's a free one that you can get at qprompter.com. It's simple. You just cut and paste the script and off you go. But I've been looking for something that would, because really what I need is I need my camera, which is pointing at me right now, in the middle of my screen. That's where I need it. I need it behind the screen, not in front of it, in order to, you know, because it always looks like I'm looking down. And I guess that's just the way I have this office laid out. But QPrompter may be a option here. And but anyway, have you priced what a real teleprompter costs? Oh my goodness. It's $2,000-$3,000 for just, you know, a basic one. Now, how many of you, moving on here, how many of you have used Google to see if a company is a scam? A lot of times my kids are asking me about websites. I will actually Google information about the websites to see if I can find any information. And I know that I've actually looked up a few companies before using Google and use a couple of, I usually put the company name in and look at two or three pages in. And then I put their company name in scam or bad review. And I actually find a lot about companies that way. So, you know, bloggers are very, how should we say it? Negative news seems to get indexed very well by Google. Yeah, because a lot of people link to it and read it, and it causes the Google rank and however they structure that to go up. You know, when I talk bad about companies and people, generally the results of that information is on the first or second page of the Google results for that company, and I get a lot of traffic in from them, you know, people looking for information on those individuals or companies, and it works. It really, really does. So, you know, if a company does you wrong, and they, you know, and they deserve to have something negatively said about them, you know, nothing more powerful than Google. When you have blogged something pointing at the company's website, it's a great, great tool. It really, really is. And there's a good article that has been produced by The Local. It's a Sweden's News in English. I believe it's an actual newspaper, but they have a website. And they did an interview with two of the folks that are primarily behind the Pirate Bay. That's a pretty good interview. And talks about these guys and a little bit about them. Do you know that the two guys that run the Pirate Bay have regular full-time jobs and the Pirate Bay is a hobby? I thought there would be as much traffic as the Pirate Bay gets. I would have thought that there would have been, you know, 4, 5, 10 people that were behind that. But no, it's just two guys from Sweden. And they've got a pretty, they seem to be, you know, you're just looking at the picture, you wouldn't expect these guys to be the operators of the Pirate Bay. Look pretty cool. They're wearing stylish clothing, and they don't have that typical, well, I would consider, you know, that's being stereotypical, but they don't look like geeks, you know. And but they definitely are, they're, you know, they're techie types. So a lot of information about them here in this article. Pretty cool. It's always nice to kind of get info on who's knows who's operating sites and who's behind, you know, some of the you know, who are the people behind the sites. All right, over on the New York Times in the business section, there's an article about royalty rates. Now, a few days ago, Apple was just, oh, they were crying like little kids, complaining about how if the royalty rate was increased, it could force the iTunes store to go out of business. Well, the ruling by the Copyright Royalty Board, a panel of three judges appointed by the Librarian of Congress, applied strictly to mechanical royalties, which are paid to the songwriters and publishers of music, not the performers. The royalties paid by entity licensing the music, which varies depending on the format of the recording. So what they did was, is basically they've come up with a rate for how much sites have to pay back to them for each track and this, all this kind of stuff that goes on with, you know, copyrighted music and having it played online and so forth, downloaded. Well, it had been at 9.1 cents per track. So that's what Apple would have to pay when someone purchased a track and downloaded it to their computer. They would have to pay 9.1 cents back to the songwriters and publishers of the music. So that level is going to be maintained to at least 2012. And they've introduced some new charges for ringtones made from snippets of music, also master tones, whatever that is, and a variety of different things that are being paid for and downloaded when it comes to music. So this is going to affect some of the companies out there. Obviously, Apple, it's not going to affect all of them, but it will affect some of the other companies that offer some of these other services that are now going to be have a fee associated with them. But overall, I guess Apple must be happy that they didn't increase the price. Okay, last article that I have for tonight. Hey, didn't doing good, pretty good for time here. It's over on CNET. 7 blog news trackers compared. Now, if you're reading the Geek News Central, you'll notice that I put up an article on Google Blog Search. They've revamped the website. It's actually pretty good. Going through the technical, I was watching it today. I was refreshing the page, and new articles were coming to the top. I got some of the content tonight from Google Blog Search. But if you do a custom search, they give you an RSS feed. But if you're looking for the top level you know, if you just want to get the technology feed and have that continue to update in your system during the day or in your feed reader during the day, there's no RSS feed with the top level searches, which I thought that was really ridiculous. But anyway, the folks over at CNET have reviewed Google Blog Search, TechMeme, Blog Runner, NewsPond. I didn't even know about this site. Technorati Front Page Topics, which I think is junk. Topics, T-O-P-I-X, that's the website. And Megit. I'm familiar with all of these except for NewsPond, which I'll check out. But great way to get aggregated news, kind of find out what people are talking about. And if you're a blogger or a podcaster, these are great resources to find materials for your shows and stuff to talk about. It's, you know, it's one of the resources that I use for this show, obviously, to get the daily events and things that have happened over the past couple of days. So kind of, we had a pretty good show tonight. Not super full of content. And I do apologize for coughing on everybody two or three times. I did, as a matter of fact, probably to much annoyance of the folks on Ustream, I stopped the show at least twice and backed up because I had coughed on you pretty bad. So I will remember to take my meds before when I'm supposed to, and I won't be doing this on you. But I do have some voicemails. We'll go ahead and get into that now. I've got four. Most of them are relatively short, so it won't take too long. Actually, there's three. One of them I don't understand because I couldn't hear it. It was only 12 seconds. So maybe the caller can call back and leave another comment. But let me go ahead and get into the first voicemail. As always, 619-342-342-7365 or geeknews@gmail.com. Here comes the first voicemail.
Hey, Todd. This is Daniel Sellers. Do a podcast review show, that podcast show. However, I don't know how thoroughly you can really talk about this, but I am looking for a host for my podcast, and I know you have it through Blueberry. You and the guys have been working on that, but can you go into any more detail about the differences with Blueberry or Raw Voice, as well as Libsyn, and explain a little, looking for a host that is much more geared towards podcasting, and I want to make sure I get the right one for the right money. So I would really appreciate it if you could do that. Thanks so much. Keep up the great work.
Hey, thanks for the call, and those of you on Ustream, you weren't able to hear the audio tonight. I don't have it patched in. But the caller was basically asking about our podcasting service over at Blueberry and some of the other services. I guess while I don't want to disparage any competitors out there, I would say that if you're looking for an all-in-one podcast hosting solution, we've got a great product over at Blueberry.com. You can have your own custom homepage. It doesn't have any of the Blueberry branding on it. Looks like your site. You can put your own domain on it and everything. We've got great hosting packages over there, publishing and hosting packages. Plus with it, you get stats, and you get a whole variety of services. It's just not the hosting. You get all the extra added value stuff that we build in newsletter. You get the, again, the pro stats level. You get all the functionality to integrate with social sites like Twitter. And just a whole variety of services. And of course, it'll give you the opportunity to help you make money when you're ready to do that. But sites like Libsyn, they have a flat rate hosting. They have a publishing service as well. If I was to, if you're telling me that you were going to be hosting with Libsyn, I would say just put your media over there only. Have your own blog somewhere else. Don't necessarily have your site at Libsyn. They allow that. Their homepages are not super customizable. Although we're not that super customizable either, but we have at least, I think, 8 templates, and you can edit your header, and you can edit, you know, you basically make it look like your page. But they have good hosting service, can't complain. They do a good job with what they're doing. I feel we do real well, too. We have a commercial CDN that is doing our content delivery. So we don't even deal with the hosting of media. We have a third-party service that does that. I hope that answers your question. There's other sites out there that have some other things too. Basically, if you go over to Podcast FAQ, that's a site that's sponsored. PodcastFAQ.com is a site that's sponsored by my company. Although we keep it, product agnostic. We let anybody put anything up there. Basically, we allow companies to write reviews of their sites and so forth. So check out. That should give you a resource on where to find information about different hosts that are out there. And I'd love to, basically be your provider if we could do that. And I think we've got great competitive rates. We don't give the service away, but we also feel that we offer real high-level quality service as well. Okay, let me go ahead and get into the next voicemail.
Hey, Todd. It's Matt over at newmacuser.com.
Hey, Matt.
I wanted to comment on your wife looking at the MacBook or the MacBook Pro. You know, October 14th, all the rumor sites have something being released by Mac in the line of new laptops. You might want to give it a wait till at least the middle of the month and find out if those rumors come through. But you also might want to let her play with your MacBook Pro for a while. See if that laptop helps her out. Hey, just wanted to help out. Take care. Bye.
Hey, I knew about the refresh that was coming. So, no, I wasn't about to just run out and let her get something right away. And, yes, she has been playing with it. Matter of fact, it's sitting here tonight, but she has been playing with the MacBook Pro that I have a couple of nights in a row. You know, she does video stuff on it, so she was familiar already a little bit, but boy, oh boy, wait till you hear the next voicemail that's coming, because Susabel, we'll let Susabel, I won't spoil the fun, but the missus will get what she wants, but I may take Susabel's advice when it comes to the kids, and here's her voicemail.
Hey, Todd, it's Susabel.
Hey.
Regarding the kind of computers you should buy for your family, I say get the wife whatever she wants. Make her happy, that's great. But if you put those kids on Apples, I'm going to have to come down there and kick your butt. You got to get those kids on PCs and keep them on PCs, because that's what they're going to get when they get into a business environment. And, you know, the Mac is cool and pretty and easy and all that, but I don't have one on my desk at my job, and neither does anybody else. And I just think the kids are going to run into the PCs and not the Macs. And if the Mac is their experience, then they're at a definite disadvantage when they get out into the working world. That's just my opinion, and I will talk to you later. Thanks for the good work.
Hey, thank you so much. And you're right about the kids happening to have PC experience, because that's what's being used, quote-unquote, in the real world. You're right. Unless it's a real progressive firm, it's mostly PCs on the desk. I agree, especially government. You don't see any Macs in government. There's just none. It's a PC, Windows-based world for sure. Now, one thing to consider, though, is because I can run Windows on the Mac, there is an option there, too. So maybe I can get the best of both worlds. But again, I agree. They got to have the good experience as they're getting older with a PC. But I think they're going to, I don't know. They're definitely partial to, all of them are partial to the Macs right now. I think it's just because it looks pretty and everything else. But they've all used PCs all these years. So, you know, it's just because Dad has one in here that I think is causing them to get converted. And they've got them in schools, too. Schools are, you know, I've never understood that, too. Elementary, and maybe even high schools are predominantly have Macs in them. And then yet these kids leave school, go to college, maybe they'll have a Mac. And then what are they using at their workplace? They're using PCs. I guess it's, you know, Macs are popular with teachers for sure. So I don't know. It's kind of like a double-edged sword. It really is. But thanks, Susabel. And oh, and yes, your OLPC is on the way. All right, let me go ahead and get into the voicemails. I mean, not the voicemails, the emails here. And let me make sure that I've covered this. I don't know if I've read this one or not. And let me go ahead and move on. If I missed some of you, I apologize. Got an email from Mal in London, UK. Said, hey, Todd, I just thought you'd like to know that some of the recent newsletters have not reached me. I was getting them all fine up to number 407 from geek at geeknewscentral.com. Then it jumped to 410 from geeknews@gmail.com. And then only a couple related to the Tech Roundtable, number 411. I'm getting them via the feed. Some have not really missed out on anything. Also, the switching between email senders is breaking my rules, etc. This is not a problem for me. However, this could mean that some people's emails could be blocked as they may not have alternative email senders set up for GNC and allow senders lists and spam filters, meaning the newsletter could be dropped in the spam bucket. The last newsletter went out on the original email server, so there should not have been a different send from And I understand what you're saying on that. But thanks for that. And he went on to talk about more information about Linux distros as well, and also talking about Apple's Bonjour service. He says, yeah, it's a real problem, and it installs even if you deselect it. We have a large number of PCs in the house where users have downloaded and installed iTunes for personal use or even some business use for work-related podcasting, and the Bonjour service gets installed along with iTunes and enabled Bonjour purpose. As far as we know, it goes out on the LAN to look for other systems that shares one iTunes library with you, primarily Apple TV. And also it works with the Windows Media Center if you've got a certain plugin as well. So, you cannot update the Apple TV without Bonjour loaded on your Windows machine. I found that out. I got an email from, and thanks for that. I do appreciate your email, and thanks for being a listener over there in the UK and London. Next email is from Scott. He says, Todd, for your closing applications issue, I would try using Dialafix to fix your computer. Scott, I've been like doing PC stuff forever. I've never heard of Dialafix, so I'll be looking at that because you weren't the only one. I was surprised. I never get two emails in a row from people suggesting the same thing. But two of you suggested to go out and get Dialafix, so I'll give that a try. And, you know, I've actually been trying to some of the other suggestions we'll cover here in a few minutes. For those of you that are new to the show, what is happening is I'm closing applications, and the application's still running in the taskbar, and it's mainstream applications, Firefox, my news reader, and I've done everything, virus check, all the checks to make sure that there's something not funny going on with the machine, and just these applications refuse to close. So people are sending me suggestions on how to fix my issue. Got an email from Eric. It says, Todd, wait a little bit before you buy. They're very close to updating. That's if the wife can't wait. If not, you know what you have to do, Eric. So, yep, Eric, we're going to wait for sure. Got an email from Mark. He says, hey, Todd, check this out. 900,000th floor, please. And this talks about space elevator. And several people have sent me emails on this in the past, but I'll have this linked up in the show notes. Got an email from Patrick. He says, hey, just saw on your problem. I've had this problem. I've had hang problems like this before. Basically, what I found is some of the extensions or plugins cause this. So maybe check if that site installed a plugin or extension. I looked in Firefox, and I think it already went down that road. I had removed all plugins and extensions. So far, no, but I'm going to dig a little deeper. Yep, something could be in there. Got an email from Kyle. He says, hey, Todd, you asked about what else do you use instead of Trillion in the podcast? I use a program called Pigeon at www.pigeon.im. It is an open source project that is mainly used on Linux, but they have a Windows version too. They have support for these IM services and work with, and it's just a whole list of them. Kyle, you and about a dozen other people sent me a link to Pigeon. And I had known about Pigeon before, but I had forgotten about it. And actually, Angelo, he had said, hey, go use Pigeon. Wow. What a difference. What a difference. Trillion is gone. So I am now using Pigeon and very, very happy with it. So, Kyle, thanks for that. Susabel sent an email, said, I'd almost bet your Java got corrupted, and that is affecting your other programs. Try to do a repair of whatever Java you have installed and upgrade the Java int if you have it, Susabel. I haven't tried that yet, Susabel, but your fix may end up being it because so far everything else hasn't. Got an email from John. He says, hey, Todd, weird behavior. Maybe you can explain and test. There's a podcast called Covert Radio, which I'm trying to subscribe to. I have iTunes version 8 on both a MacBook and an XP machine. The podcast downloads okay in iTunes on the XP machine, but fails on the Mac iTunes. The Mac error is unknown 400. I ran feedvalidator.org against it and got a number of errors. However, the errors do not explain why it will download in XP and not to Mac. Any thoughts? Can you please ask your audience? So I'll put this, any of you that listens to covertradioshow.com, are you having problems getting that show? I'll take a look at the feed too, John, and I'll see if I can come up with something. Believe me, if the feed is invalid, sometimes iTunes chokes on it. It just does. Zune is really picky on having invalid feeds. So I think they actually stop importing your feed if you don't get it valid. Got an email from Jim. He says, "Hey Todd, Apple has dropped their NDA for iPhone developers. Check this out." So very, very cool. He says, "Non-disclosure agreement has a huge source of frustration among iPhone developers who are now free to discuss their release software among themselves. Read this blog post by Tom Kratz on the news from Apple." So yes, very, very cool that Apple finally did the right thing on that NDA. So, but it was for release software, not pre-release. If you've got pre-release or software that hasn't been approved, you cannot complain about it. You're still under NDA. So they came halfway. Got an email from Leonard. He says, "Hey, Todd, the iPhone 3G was finally released in South Africa on Friday, and I got mine on Saturday morning. I'm excited and disappointed at the same time. I like the GUI, but the lack of features is a bit disappointing." That's why they've got the Apple App Store there, Leonard. They want you to go spend lots of money. "It is currently only available from one carrier in South Africa, Vodacom. So far, I like the iPhone experience, which is good. Keep up the great show. Aloha, Leonard." Hey, Leonard, yeah. That's why all these developers were developing programs to put on the iPhone before the App Store came out, because, you know, you're kind of limited. But believe me, go over to App Store. Huge, huge, huge numbers of applications over there. You'll find everything you really want. I got an email from Paul. It says, "Todd, I heard you're having problems closing programs on your system, so I thought I'd point out one question. What operating system?" XP. That's the XP. It's XP that's causing it, Paul. He said, "Well, here's what I want to show, and I thought this might help you out with your problem." So thanks for that link. It's basically taking back program controls for the beginner. So I'll read through this, and he said, "This is just some tips and tricks to figure out what might be wrong with your system." Thanks for that, Paul. I do appreciate it. Got an email from Keith, and his email is loading. He's always got images linked in here with his. I thought I was preloading these, but I'm not. And he said, "Hey, Todd, hey, it must be a worm or virus that is stopping the program from closing, or it may be just one of Microsoft patch upgrades. I've noticed a little of that myself. Going back a month, restoring a system restore did not change it, so it may be a Microsoft issue. I have Trojan Guards, firewall, and everything else battened down with all the anti-everything else. None of it has detected anything. Enjoy. Have a great vacation. Prayers are out to your wife's father." Hey, thanks for that, Keith. And, you know, yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's a virus. I don't think it's a worm. I don't think it's a rootkit. I've been through everything, but I'm not ruling that out. But it could. Who knows? It could be something that's not detected, and who knows? Maybe my machine's being run as a bot. You know, here I am blasting everybody about making their machines are not bots, and who knows what my machine's doing? And I know you Apple guys out there, you're all loving this, but it's something that's it's causing these programs to hang. Everything in the machine's working fine, but just when they close, they won't close. Also, I don't know if I like Twitter anymore. For 2 days now, they will not let me follow anyone. Do they selectively and randomly select people to do this to? I can't follow those I want to. What good is Twitter if you can only be an observer? Well, they want you to have followers and those following to be almost equal, or they limit you. That's where they've come in on that. And I don't necessarily agree with it. Just complain about what they're doing, and maybe that will cause them to move off dead center. All right, folks. Hey, have a good time with Mike and Michael on the next two shows. Be nice to them, and I will be back with you. It's the show of, let me look here at the calendar so that you guys know when I'll be back. I'll be back with you for a show on October 13th. It's going to be a morning show that I'm going to record because I fly out the evening of the 13th to go to Dallas. So I'll be back with you next week, and I'll be out all next week. This is the first break that I have had in 400-plus shows, a real break. And I want to thank Mike and Michael for taking up the helm while I am gone. You know, I've had a few people step in here and there from time to time. But it's way, 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 way overdue here, and I'll come back with refreshed batteries, jumping up and down, probably lots of stories to tell you, and I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. Yeah, I'm going to, you know, Tuesday night I'm going to feel lost because I'm like, I'm aiming Monday night. And we're like, I'm supposed to be doing a show. And I know I don't have to. And the same thing with Thursday night. But you guys have fun with them next week. And I hope they bring you a lot of cool tech. And keep the comments coming to the same email addresses, because I'll just forward that stuff off to them. And then they can cover it in the show when they record it. So anyways, for now, geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. I appreciate it. Y'all take care. And we'll see you soon. And, yes, I'm officially on vacation. Aloha.